It's time for the Giz Whiz with Mads Maddest Rider, Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 2076, recorded Thursday, January 22nd, 2026. Clicks and picks. On this episode of the Giz Whiz, we got more gadgets from Vegas, CES episode number 2. We have a way to add keyboards to your smartphone or a brand new smartphone with a keyboard, a really, really smart car, plus we look back a decade old CES gadget and see if it is still all that it's hacked up to be. All next on The Giz Whiz!
It's the same dumb show with Dickie D and OMG chat on your PC. It's time for The Giz Whiz because gadgets are his business. They've got a gizmo sickness, geek disease,
under pathology,
rows and rows of USBs, growing glowing LEDs. Get ready for The Giz Whiz now.
Now! And here he is, our host hack, Dick DiBartolo. How you doing, Dickie D?
I'm doing good, sir. And you?
Good, good. Hackaball is the name of the gadget. That's what I'm referencing.
Hackaball.
Hackaball.
And it was just being introduced. I did not look it up.
Me neither.
So Peter,
That's the teaser that we have to look forward to.
What is on your shirt here?
So this is the Pop-Tart Bowl. One of the first times that I felt like today was a great day. The weather was great to wear this shirt. But this was what happened right after Christmas with Georgia Tech and...
that's what you told us. You went there,
the
right?
Yes, I did. I watched the whole show.
That was...
BYU, what is it? Brigham Young University is who they were fighting. Yeah, and they won. Brigham Young won. But yeah, this was my commemorative.
Wow,
shirt.
You're big on merchandise when you go to events.
Event merchandise, I absolutely love because it is so specific to. And especially if you can get something that is like just about that one day that you're there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
I love that for some reason. I have a Harry Styles crew neck yellow thing that I wear. Absolutely love it. Because that was something that was sold only at the 3 Austin shows. And nowhere else, you know. They had like a constant design, and so yeah. Anyway, I you will get me if you have a merch booth at a big event that's like held in an arena or a stadium, and it has like specific day of merch that looks cool. It can't look absolutely trash, otherwise I won't buy it. But then I will absolutely. I'd love.
Well, you know, I'm thinking I'm gonna get Dennis to make Gizwish shirt episode 2076.
If you put that up on Spreadshirt, I will buy it every time.
Week. We'll make a new T-shirt. $50. There you go. Yeah, get the whole club. Get them all.
Oh my gosh! Yes, you might get me. You might get me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. I think we're going to start at one.
Definitely. If you put them up on Spreadshirt, get AI to design it. You know, I think you might
have
a plan.
But
the thing is, Dennis is, what am I saying? Dennis is a darn great designer. He's,
yes, but he would never know how to get the design from his drawing board to the computer.
Actually,
he knows how to use Illustrator. That was the only program he ever learned. Because the company required it. And I said, if you could learn how to do Illustrator, you should be able to answer your own emails.
I feel that way about a lot of things, but I can work great in Premiere Pro and still not answer my emails. So I feel that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we have a ton of CES gadgets lined up for you. And this first gadget is one that we've seen in the past. They have a few new products, and they really shocked me with a whole new phone, which kind of, you know, a new company getting into the phone market nowadays seems a little bit like 2013, you know, like there's not a lot of new phone companies popping up. So let's take a look at Klex here from CES.
Hey everybody, we're at CES 2026 and we are checking out Klex, which I've seen before. They are known as the hardware physical keyboard that you can add to your phone. But this year, y'all have announced something new that's very exciting. A new phone, a new actual communicator that could replace your phone?
Absolutely. So Klex Communicator is a new kind of phone that's really been optimized for communication. And the way we think about the world today, there's more stuff vying for our attention than ever before. And it's so easy to get sucked into a side quest on your main phone. So we said, what if you had a phone that was better at communicating than your everything phone that's really bent on content consumption and creation? And what we've seen is that there's a lot of people who are already rolling with two phones, and we're thinking you should be given something that's a little bit more purpose-built. Just like you carry an e-reader and a tablet, maybe you'll carry a communicator and a flagship.
Interesting. So it's kind of a new way to kind of think about how you're communicating. So through the new communicator, what options do you got? You got messaging and what else?
So it's a full standalone smartphone. So it runs Android 16, has Google Play Store, all the apps. So everything you would expect from a modern smartphone. But then we've done a few little fun things. We're working with Niagara Launcher, which is a really popular minimalist launcher, so that it curates all of your messages on your home screen. And so you don't have to go into your different messaging apps in order to see what's looking for your attention and react and triage. Then we've also added a notification LED. We're calling it the signal light. And you can program that to let you know when something needs your attention. So if Chad is trying to get in touch with me, it's going to go blue because you like blue, clearly. If Caleb's trying to get in touch, you know, maybe it's pink because you got a nice pink polo shirt on. And so that's one of the ways that you'll be able to stay contextually aware of what's looking for your attention without getting sucked in. There's a ton of other features too. The keyboard is a trackpad. It's touch sensitive. So you can actually scroll through your message list with the keyboard. And then we're bringing back some choice to the phone market. You've got expandable storage with micro SD. You've got 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. 4,000 milliamp hour silicon carbon battery. There's pretty much nothing that this thing doesn't have.
That's fantastic. And what's the price point?
So price point is $499 retail, but we're doing a really great early bird promotion right now where you can buy it for $399 outright, unlocked. And if you pay the full pop, $399, you get two additional back covers for free, or you can give us a $199 reservation deposit to lock in that $399 price.
Fantastic. And y'all, that's just one product. Y'all have the other, so let me know about those.
Okay, so the other product that we announced this week is something called the Klex Power Keyboard. And so, you know, think of a MagSafe power bank with a keyboard that connects wirelessly.
Amazing.
Well, you can't see the keyboard when it's attached.
Yeah, how do I get to the keyboard? Oh, wow.
You just slide it out. So it's a really great compact pocket keyboard that you can add to your phone. You can also turn your phone sideways if you want to go horizontal. But because it's a Bluetooth keyboard, you can also use it with all of your other smart devices. So your smart TV, your AR/VR headset, even a tablet.
That's actually really incredible. This is great because y'all have the case, and I've kind of moved away from my case more to a MagSafe like puck, and this is that's fantastic. So what's the price point on that?
So these retail for $109, but again, we're doing a special kind of launch promotion for $79 US.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And then what's the price on the regular case?
On the regular keyboard cases, they go between $139 and $159, depending on what model and size you're in.
Fantastic. Hey, where can people learn more?
So Klex.tech is our website, but if you're really into communicator, just go to klexphone.com and it'll take you right to the details.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Hey, thanks.
There you go. Klex. I was kind of impressed by that price at, you know, without even the sale price being around $500. Not a bad price.
So you don't need... You don't need a service because you're using a Bluetooth to your regular phone?
No. So he was mentioning that, like, if you wanted to get like record a lot of videos or do content like consumption or creation, you might carry a second phone. But this phone, this should be its own standalone device with a SIM card, and is its own phone.
You need a service plan.
You need a service plan. Yes, okay. Exactly. Now, I'm surprised that he kind of led with like, we expect you to use a second phone, because my original thought was this could just be your phone.
I was going to say, can it not just be your phone?
It could. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it can. It's just running Android. Now, because of the form factor of the phone, there might be some apps that show up really weird on this screen. Like, I could just imagine like a banking app. You know, maybe it has a bottom tray and some like navigation stuff, and it's just squished and weird. Or maybe like the Tesla app or something, you know, like your Gmail app. Well, maybe Gmail would work really well with this. I don't know. I guess they're showing it off right here. But I could just imagine that maybe the form factor isn't great for some apps, but like, you know, the most crucial ones are, you know, all the messaging ones that they're covering. Other than that would be what, navigation, calendar. I think that the screen should be able to handle it. So, and then they also have a little promotional video.
I've covered a lot of product launch.
This is a 12-minute video. Never mind.
It wouldn't be great for watching a movie or anything because the screen size is pretty
small. Right. It's basically a 4x3 screen instead of a 16x9 screen. Yeah. For like watching content, maybe even scrolling through TikTok, that might actually be kind of frustrating, you know, for a lot of people use their phones for that type of thing. Because all those videos will be vertical videos and you'll be, I guess, letterboxed on a probably lower resolution screen. By the way, they have a really interesting case with Razer. So the Razer phone, here, we can look a little bit more at this before we move on. And I showed a little bit of it I just showed a clip of it in this. I may have to go to Clix's actual website. But it's a case for the Razer phone, but the Razer phone is one that will close, and it works just like the old Razers, the Motorola Razers used to do. Where you can close them and clamp them. And here we go. There we go. So this will work with that phone as a keyboard, which was shown really quickly. And one of the cool things about that phone is that it has a display on the outside as well as the inside. So it doesn't do a great job in these press photos of showing that the Razer phone will open. It doesn't do a very good job at all of showing how it opens. But that phone will open up. And unfold so that you can use the back and the front. Let's see if... There we go.
To go back, even more keyboard shortcuts become available when you flip Razer open.
See, you can open the phone.
Alt-tab brings up recent applications.
Okay.
It's one of the foldable phones.
Search return goes home, and search N pulls up notifications.
So there you go. Sorry, that took a little while to get to. So they have a whole range of products. They have stuff for iPhones. They have some of these Motorola Razer things. Now they have a new wireless Puck, which I think the feature of it being just a Bluetooth keyboard, and you could use it with maybe your smart TV or sometimes gaming consoles will allow Bluetooth keyboards to pop up if you need to enter in a password or something like that, or chat. If you're on a game that allows chat, you can use a Bluetooth keyboard to chat on a console instead of just a PC. So that's all way, way cool. And then on top of all of that, the new communicator phone, which... that's a lot to talk about for Clix. anything you want to mention before we move on?
I like if you have a... You have a MagSafe phone, right? I like that keyboard.
Not anymore,
that magnetic
since Vegas.
In the back, yeah. Yes. So you can hide a keyboard. I like having a little external keyboard. So
yeah,
that's sort of interesting.
And I mean, if you are someone who got to use a phone with a physical keyboard, you just know it is a way better experience than the virtual keyboard. And then Clix has added in all these other features of it being a, you know, like its own trackpad and things like that. I mean, they've really conquered this space, and the price points aren't that bad. So pretty cool. I agree. Moving on, what is your budget for new gadgets, Dickie T?
If I like it a lot, well,
I'm talking like close to six figures here on this next gadget.
And it's not a boat?
Not a boat. But it might be able to drive you around. So let's take a look.
I got a chance.
Let's take a peek.
This is from Honda and Sony.
To check out the Afila One. This is a completely electric vehicle made by Honda, but in direct partnership with Sony. So this is a Sony-Honda joint venture where Honda is basically making the car and Sony is providing a ton of the tech. And this is packed with tech. On the outside, you can easily see that there are tons of sensors all around the outside, including 40 different sensors, 18 cameras, and a LiDAR sensor right there at the top, which adds a little hump to the top of the car. One thing that instantly drew me to it is the screen that's on the front, above the bumper. This can be customized to whatever you want, and it'll also display the logo of the Afila car, and even things like battery percentage as you're charging the car. Advanced driving assist will be available for the car, giving up to like around level 2+ of autonomous driving, which means that the car will basically be able to take over, but you'll need to kind of monitor where it's going, very similar to Tesla's autopilot at the moment. The technology continues inside the car, where there is a ton of screens, including screens for your side mirrors and rear view mirror. Sony, being the major partnership here, has also included a way to play PlayStation games with a PlayStation controller. You can stream games down to the car from its 5G connection using Remote Play. Of course, the entire car looks extremely comfortable and premium, and the price is a premium price as well. Starting at $89,000, just under $90,000, and then higher trims will exceed over $100,000. This car is more positioned against the Lucid Air or Tesla's Model S line of cars. You can reserve this car right now with a $200 fee, and the first deliveries are supposed to slowly roll out this year in 2026.
Okay, there you go.
Slick looking.
My little report on if the Afila.
If it came at its own parking space, it would... you know, what is the range of that? I know that's a thing with electric cars.
Yeah, absolutely. So this one's up to 300 miles of range, which is pretty, that's kind of
pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's kind of standard for most of the daily driver cars. So the Model 3 will be that, all the Model S's and things like that. The Leaf and the Volt and things like, and those sort of lower end electric cars will get around 200. So this is aimed at that higher end of the market. Some cars claim like 500 miles of range. Those are like monster, super expensive cars. People are excited about this in the automobile industry because of the partnership with Honda, and hopefully it'll be, you know, strong. They'll be able to manufacture them. They're being manufactured in Ohio, I believe. And to me, this really brings Honda to where Tesla has been for a long, long time. They've added in a ton of, you know, features with, you know, all the screens. I mean, there's like six screens right in the front, and even your rear view mirror is a screen that can be switched from just a mirror to a rear view screen of out the back. And in terms of the autonomous driving side of things, having the LiDAR at the top and all those sensors, they are claiming that it'll be up to a level where you can take your eyes off of the road for a while. You still need to kind of be there to monitor it, but it can take over and take lanes and take exits and drive around, which is where Tesla's been for a long time now, over, you know, a few years now, and no other manufacturer has gotten there. So that's why I think everyone's so excited about this car. Is it looks like Honda's getting their foot into the game of another version of an autonomous car that is affordable to humans and not corporations, because the other level is getting into Waymo and getting into all the, you know, all the crazy LiDAR sensors that are $600,000 cars that only corporations are buying to do their taxi services with. So that's where I think a lot of the hype is coming from this car. And it is very luxurious, and Sony being Sony, they're also adding in a lot of things, like you can watch movies, you can listen to music, and Sony does do a really good job on interface, and cars don't normally have great interfaces and a responsive touch screens and things like that. So that's why I think there's so much hype around this car compared to other smart cars and other electric cars in the industry.
I heard that it's so smart that, like, if you wanted to go on a camping trip and you don't have time, the car can just go on it by itself. It'll come back and tell you.
It just has trouble plugging in once it gets
there. Yeah, yeah. come back and give you pictures.
Yes, exactly. One more thing I will mention, as this is the year of AI, one of the things that's built in is an AI integration where you can speak to the car just with natural voice and ask it about settings in the car, ask it about what the car can do. And so that is also a thing that Tesla has implemented into its newest versions of its car. The ones that have the fastest processors will run Grok, and so you can do the exact same thing with Tesla's, is you can ask Grok to change settings on your car, or ask Grok to navigate using human voice instead of Tesla, drive to blank. You can just talk like a normal human to it. So they're also building that into the car, which needs to kind of be mentioned, is that that's another feature that other cars won't have, is you'll still have, you know, accept call, place call, and have to talk like a robot to your car, where this one you'll be able to talk like a human to your car.
Perfect.
Okie dokie. Let's get out of car talk and move into some 3D printing from a company that I actually...
Hey guys, it's Chad.
Used some 3D printers from before. I don't know. I think I mess it up a few times in this video. So
okay.
Here we go.
CES 2026, and we are checking out Curality with Ryan. Now, I actually have a Curality printer, so I know a little bit about 3D printing.
Absolutely.
But let me know about what I'm seeing behind me. This looks brand new.
Yep, this is brand new. So this is our SparkX i7. It's our brand new printer. It's coming out. It should be available within the next month on Amazon and Creality.com. So what's unique about this is, as you know, we have our CFS systems that are above. What's cool about this system right here is you have the Bowden tubes going right into the print head right here. So instead of retracting all the way up, it's just retracting, it's cutting the filament and retracting a little bit up. So you're saving time on multicolor prints, which is super important for people right now, and you're also producing less waste, which is also, people are getting a lot of more conscious about all the waste that 3D printers can have. And so we've got this right here, and it works just like a normal CFS, except for that right there, and you can just swap them out. You can do four colors with this. Our other flagship series, the K-Series, will allow you to do up to four CFSs at once, and so you can have 16 colors. You can do four colors with this one. So, but otherwise, we just printed out a Benchy right here, 14 minutes, nice and easy, It looks great.
Yeah, I was seeing it go earlier. It seemed very fast. I can't remember the model that I own.
Yeah.
This one is way faster. And then also let me know about what you're doing with your own app, because I heard that not, you know, either you can go into a slicer, slice it yourself, yeah, but y'all have your own app?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our Creality slicer. If you're familiar with Orca slicer, it's going to be kind of based on that, and so you'll be very familiar with the Creality print. The cool thing that we've just announced is something called Flow Print. So what we were seeing is people were downloading STLs, they're buying printers, downloading STLs, and not really knowing what to do with them. And so now with Flow Print, what you can do is you can find a model on Creality Cloud, and you can pick out your specific printer, and then get the slicer settings for it. So you download it as the 3MF file as a project, and your printer will already know what to do. And so that's going to make it a lot easier for first-time users, and it's just going to be great for the community.
Yeah, that'll help the learning curve for sure. And then I saw a little thing about some type of like AI way to take a photo and make, like, yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah. Yep, so that's our CubeMe feature. Unfortunately, we didn't have it here. We're at the Venetian, we're at our big booth, so if you stop by, we should have some CubeMes over there. Basically, you can take any picture and turn it into a 3D file, and then you can print out yourself in a Funko Pop size style. And so you can choose what style the image is generated in, and it works really cool. I like it a lot.
I like that a lot, because the learning curve is pretty hard when you try to model things yourself. Yeah. And so having AI kind of step in and go, oh, here's the model that you would want, and it looks cute and adorable as well, seems really cool, really cool. So tell me again the price point and when they're coming out.
So this should be available in the next 4 weeks, especially it should be for pre-sale on our Creality website right now, creality.com, and then it'll be in some U.S. retailers as well. So Micro Center will have some, so if you have a local Micro Center, check it out there. It should be on display as well. The i7 should be about $400 with the CFS, so a nice price point to get started.
Yeah, that's a really great price point. Where can people find out more?
If you go to creality.com, we'll have a bunch of information there. If you go on any of our socials, we have our own Reddit, so you can ask questions if you have there. I know some of the people that run it. We're trying to do a super great job there. But yeah, our website will have all the information for you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. Yeah, see you around CES.
Thank you.
Creality, not Curality, Creality. So if you didn't understand what he was mentioning about the Bowden tubes, is if you want to do multiple color prints, how it's worked before is you have all those spools of different colors, and so the print head would be way over here, and you have a Bowden tube that goes over to the spools. And what used to happen is all of that splicing would happen kind of over here near the spools and not near the print head. And so you'd have to retract the filament all the way back, then do all of your splicing. And to get really good color, you kind of have to discard some of the old one and get some of the new one. And if it's pulled really long, then you have to discard more. So by doing it over here by the print head, it reduces a ton of movement, it reduces a ton of waste, and so that's why you're able to get way more efficient prints because of that. Now, it only allows you to do 4 colors instead of the 16 colors that the other series can do, and so that's what he was mentioning with the Spark i7 specifically, was why it's like kind of cool that for only $500 you can get
the price point's amazing.
Yeah, that you can get a 4-color printer that also kind of respects it, your filament, which is kind of cool. And then this was idea of those little figurines that you can take your own photo and it'll make a version for you, which is kind of cool. So that you don't have to actually go in and learn how to model anything. The AI will tell you, oh, here's the model. And then finally, that last thing he was saying about the slicer files is typically you'll get an object as an STL file, but you have no idea what to set your printer settings to. You don't know layer heights, you don't know infill, you don't know exterior widths, or put a a raft on it versus a shim. Like, you don't know any of those extra things. You just have the object, and that's it. And you have to know your own printer to kind of do those extra settings, the speed settings, temperature settings, like all of those settings. There's a lot of nuance when it comes to 3D printing, because you really are controlling everything about the printer. So he's mentioning that you can download kind of an extra file that'll do all of that stuff for you whenever you use their cloud service, so that you don't have to guess on settings to be able to print something that you downloaded online.
No, actually, while the video was running, this came out of my monitor.
So look, it's a Vinci.
It's just amazing stuff. Amazing stuff.
Very, very cool. Okay, Dickie D, we have another gadget. This one comes
I know
from
it's
you.
Called the Timely, and Lon Seidman sent me some video. I did ABC this past Monday, a couple of days ago, and I have a little 30-second clip, and then we can go to their website.
There we go.
Sounds good. What about the personal safety system, Dick?
You know what? I think you will love this. So take a look at the Timely. The Timely may look like an ordinary flashlight, but it's a smart personal safety system with an onboard video recorder, GPS, audible alarm, one-to-one speaker, and the ability to contact an emergency dispatcher through a cell connection. Push the SOS button. It can send live video, so help can be on the way. The app can keep friends and loved ones informed and keep your video safely recorded.
Wow, Dick, talk about a game changer.
That really is. That really is an amazing thing. Now, if you take notes and you don't have your phone or anything handy, take a look at what you can do with
it.
We found that from you. Yes, I got that from you.
That's great. That's great. So it's a flashlight with so much more built in.
Exactly. Now, it's coming out shortly, but the fact that in an emergency, you can push the SOS button and it'll send live video. You would sign on to who you want the live video to go, but they can see where you are. The GPS will send whoever you want your actual location. It seems pretty amazing. It's going to be $299, which will include a year's service.
I think that the integration of the camera, because it's kind of like a covert way of recording, you know, whoever you is like attacking you or whatever. Or
yes, just, exactly. You know, exactly.
So I kind of like that. And then it has all those extra features built in. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. I like it.
Yeah, it's called Timely, and it's at timely.com, I believe it is.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, with that, let's head back to an old CES for Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
They're geeky and they're goofy. Together they are loopy. And all when gadgets pass away, he takes them out to play in Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
So we're going back exactly 10 years, January 2016.
Oh, my gosh. And I teased it earlier. This is Hackaball.
Hackaball.
Like Hackaball. Here we go.
A final gadget is for slightly older kids. It's called Hackaball. And here's a little video about what that is.
Hey, Dick the Gizwiz. They're hacking everything these days. Bank accounts. They're even hacking somebody's ball. And that's why we're here at Hackaball. And we're going to talk to Sebastian. Sebastian, what is Hackaball?
Well, Hackaball is a children's toy. It's a programmable rubber ball that's designed to teach kids the basics of programming through really simple play. So At its heart, it has some lights, sounds, and a vibration motor, and it reacts to motion. So you can throw it, you can drop it, you can bounce it around. And using a really simple app, kids can program the ball to do pretty much anything that they want in response to moving it around.
You know, I was watching a video before, and it seemed like there is one game where they have to gently hand each other the ball, and if you make the ball go red, was that? Am I getting this all confused?
Yeah, so the kids came up with a game called Don't Wake It, and they pretended the ball was a baby dragon's egg. And the idea is that if they pass it around really gently towards each other, they don't wake the dragon up. But if I pass it to you and I drop it a little bit, it should vibrate and you feel that they've woken the baby dragon up.
Oh, okay. So it would be off as you're passing it around. But if you really rough it up, it'll turn on.
Here we go. So hopefully. So it starts blue like that. And then if you pass it around, it stays blue. And then if you pass it to me, and I...
You're a klutz. He's a klutz.
And I woke it up there.
Oh, you woke it up. Okay, and is this on sale now?
We've just sold out of our first batch of pre-orders, so we're going to be opening up new pre-orders in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be shipping those in June.
And what does it sell for?
It sells for $85 in the U.S.
Okay. So is it only on your website?
It's on our website at the moment. We're hoping that we'll be on Amazon shortly. And then for the end of the year, we really want to be in retailers. We've got a lot of retailers who are interested in us for Christmas.
Very interesting.
There you go.
Okay. Hackable, what do you think? Are they still around or dead? I'm thinking dead.
Well, if you ScooterX just posted their Kickstarter link. I say it never came out.
Yeah, here, let's go to hackable.com.
Oh, is it still active?
No, it's not. No.
Oh.
Here's their Kickstarter.
God, they raised enough money, though, right?
Yeah, how much did they raise?
Almost $250,000.
Wow. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's really hard to read on that background.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just Google it and see what we can find.
Yes, yes.
Search with Google. The Kickstarter, the Wikipedia. Okay, this is...
Oh, no, it says is a ball, not was a ball.
Yeah.
But when was that written?
Okay. Well, that's about it on that. It doesn't say.
Oh, yeah. It looks like,
dead.
Yes, it looks like the last update there was 2023.
Yeah, I'm not seeing you can buy it anywhere. ScooterX is sharing great news.
Oh, yeah, Hackable is on its way. Oh, November. It was shipping in a.
I have a feeling they shipped their Kickstarter stuff and then probably couldn't, they didn't move enough units to keep going. Yeah, it seemed too simple to me.
I think you're right. It didn't do enough stuff.
No, definitely not. No. Hack a ball.
Pack says, well, at least they have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, they worked on that Wikipedia page. They got that. Okay, with that, let's move on to the letter.
Become the letters, your lovely letters. Become the Gizwiz letters now.
Now.
Ivan Hahn writes us. Ivan did a lot of our themes, right?
Yes.
A lot of our themes. He said... On your last episode, you talked about, in the warehouse video, Ivan says, you talked about the Kodak Super 8 camera that was $5,000. Dick, you had a movie camera, which you used. How much was it? And you spoke about filming home movies at the match game. So, Ivan... My camera, I looked it up on eBay, and my camera was from GAF that was part of Ansco Chrome, or Ansco Chrome bought it. And it was just, this is this is a slightly newer version. This is when they switched it to Super 8, but my camera was just standard 8 and had a little zoom lens. And I found a little 20-second video of how elaborate my 8 millimeter movies was. So here I am in the Seagram building, dressed like Cecil B. DeMille with the boots. The window washers for the Seagram building lent me their 20-foot crane for me to do some overhead shots. That is my little, this is my little 8 millimeter camera that I'm hoisting up to the top of this crane. And so we shot stuff in the lobby of the Seagram building, which they let us do on a Saturday, since the building was very quiet on a Saturday. And yes, this is more the model, okay? This is a year earlier model when it was still 8 millimeter film. Had a zoom lens, which for back then was really something special for an 8 millimeter camera. And then I found a little still from one of my 8 millimeter. Oh, this is amazing. Talk about gadgets. This is a Umig projector, shows 8 millimeter film. But go to the third one down once. Yeah, here you go. On the back of the projector, these wheels, you would get a reel-to-reel tape recorder. You would take the tape and run it around these wheels and then now onto the take-up reel of the tape machine. The projector was then able to run the tape recorder. And so you could do, you couldn't do synchronized voice, but you could do music and voiceover. And it would stay in sync. It would actually slow the machine down or speed up the tape passing through the projector to stay in sync. So it was kind of funky, but it worked surprisingly well.
Wow.
And yes, I did keep my 8 millimeter camera at the Gizwiz studio, which was 8H. Where Saturday Night Live came from. And I found a still store. All the celebrities, I would just say, hey, can we shoot 30 seconds of video? And here's a still store of me and Jane Mansfield. And it's a little schtick thing here where she's asking, can she be in my 8 millimeter movie? And I'm saying, Jane, I'm sorry. We could use you, but you insist the dog has to be in it too. And so I have to stop you here. You can't be in my movie.
Wow. Amazing.
Had a lot of fun with 8 millimeter film.
Because I guess it was so novel too. I mean, people would love to jump on it and things like that. It was just movies were just so novel. Yeah, very, very, very cool. Very cool. I hope that one day my old cameras, like my old iPhone footage or Android footage or whatever, will feel the same way. I had like a 1 megapixel yes, camera, and I took this video. Very, very, very neat. Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for the letter, Dick, from Ivan for sending that over. That's very, very cool. Big thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/gizwiz. Thank you so much for supporting us every single episode. You guys are incredible. Thank you to our patrons. If you like the show, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/gizwiz. We also still have the CES fundraiser up and running. We're at 77% funded on that. So thank you to everyone who has funded that as well. That is found at gizwiz.tv, and you can click on the CES fundraiser banner. While you're there, you can also click on the Patreon banner. That'll take you to a big old banner. That'll take you to our Patreon page. And then there's also a tiny little link there for PayPal. We're also live just about every Thursday, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern Time. Just head on over to our website, gizwiz.tv, and click on the live stream. The website will update with the live stream whenever we are live. And make sure you check out the chat room and chat along with all of our fantastic community there, because they are great and wonderful. Head on over to gizwiz.biz, that's Sticky D's website, where he writes articles about every gadget that we cover on the show. So if you ever need a link or a reminder back to the gadgets that we looked at, please head on over there, gizwiz.biz. While you're there, play What the Heck Is It? This is the game show online where you gotta guess the gadget. This is the entire gadget, not just a piece or part of the gadget. And I hate to give this away, but this is actually six-figure cleaning solution inside of its packaging. So whenever you need to get that Bugatti Veyron cleaned, you buy this cleaning solution. If you think you know what this is, get a guess in over at gizwiz.biz. 6 Mad Magazines for correct answers, 12 Mad Magazines for clever, hilarious, or interesting answers. So get a guess in over at gizwiz.biz. That about wraps it up for our show. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.